and gentlemen.
Stop! No!
Podcasting since 2005. You are listening to Gamertag Radio with your hosts Godfrey, Pete Rock, Paris, Pasta.
Welcome to Gamer Tag Radio, episode 531. This is your host, Danny, a.k.a. Godfrey. And also joining me this week, we have Patrick, a.k.a. Pasta.
What's up, people? Happy 2016, Danny.
Hey, happy new year, man.
New year to you, too.
How's the new year treating you?
It's been great. So exciting. It feels like, you know, we're inching up that top of that roller coaster to, like, you know, all the games are going to start coming out really soon. And you know, I'm finally going to get my awesome PC I've been talking about forever, you know, hopefully within the next week. So it just, everything's on the up, man. Looking forward to more GTR stuff, getting to the PC gaming world, which, you know, opens up that whole cornucopia of, you know, the more exotic, strange games out there I've always been jealous of, because yes, I've been a console gamer my entire life. Only dabbled on PC here and there, Counter-Strike, Portal, that kind of stuff, but really looking forward to diving fully into it. Especially with, you know, big news this year. I mean, we're already getting, you know, information on possible VR headsets for 2016. So, you know, I feel like I'm jumping into the PC madness at just the right time, you know, to fully, you know, be there for this, you know, hopefully new renaissance of, you know, where gaming is going to take us in 2016. I mean, it looks amazing just from like the bits and pieces of games we've seen teased over last year. But I mean, man, this year is going to be like a torrent of awesome, in my opinion.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we're going to be talking about more about that stuff later on. And also, by the way, for those that don't know, Pete and Paris, they're not here for this episode. And the reason is because right now they're out doing some stuff out of town. And hopefully in the future, we could talk about it on the show. And it's going to be very interesting once they come back. And
yes,
I can't wait to hear
what they have to say about what they're doing right now, because it's something that's very interesting to me. So I can't wait to get feedback from them.
And I think that's a great way to start the new year like that. And I know you are also going to be traveling very soon for something
else.
Yes,
also doing an event for something I'm passionate about myself as well. So, yeah, I mean, exciting to kick off the year, you know, just like this, you know, two events back to back. Mm-hmm. Who even knows what we got to look forward to in 2016? But I'm already super excited, man. I mean, yep.
And also, we had Aaron Greenberg last week.
Yep.
And man, that interview went around. A lot of media picked it up, which is great. Shout out to all the gaming sites out there that have been showing us love and stuff. And I think it was a great interview. You know, we recorded this a while ago, and you know, I just wanted to save it for the new year. I think that was like a great way to start 2016. You know,
absolutely. So, always great to hear from a buddy, Aaron. He always has insightful things to say from that unique perspective that he has on the Xbox gamosphere.
Definitely. Oh, and by the way, I'm going to be talking more about this in a few minutes. First of all, let me start promoting GamertagWare and everything. So head over to GamertagWare.com or play.it. Listen to our past episodes over there and download it. Share it. Share it with your friends. We need more people to listen to GTR. Just let them know what we're all about and everything. And give us a call. You want to be part of the show, you know, with questions and everything, give us a call, 786-273-7GTR. That's 786-273-7GTR. We've been getting calls locally and also internationally. So let's say you don't want to call. You just want to send an email. I think that's the easiest way for everybody. Everybody has an email. Hit us up, fanmail@gamertagradio.com. That's fanmail@gamertagradio.com. We'll read it on a future episode of Gamertag Radio. And make sure to let us know where you're from, where you're listening to the show. Is it here in the States? Is it somewhere else? You know, let us know. We'll give you a shout out for sure. Now, speaking about Aaron, I know I mentioned that a couple minutes ago. It was very interesting. You know, of course, everybody loved the interview. It went around. A lot of gaming press picked it up and stuff. So that's great. You know, now there was a lot of people that other listeners that downloaded the episode, they're not fan of Aaron. I don't know if it's because they don't like Xbox or they just don't like Aaron, or I don't know. It's dumb, in my opinion. But they were really mad that we had him on the show. I'll say this. I think Aaron always been cool with us when we set up these interviews. Well, not only with him, but a lot of other people, other companies. There hasn't been a situation of like either the PR or them telling us, oh, cut that question off. We don't want to answer that question. It's always been cool, and like they've always been very humble with that stuff, you know. And Aaron, you know, Paris and I, we before we record, we always like actually I want to get an idea what he's going to be asking, and that, and same with me, you know, like that back and forth. And Aaron's been cool, you know. I think it was great for him to be on our show, and I hope he could be on a show in the future again, you know, because I think we need that. We need to have more people like Aaron, you know, people that are working, those are very, very important in the gaming industry. They work at different companies. It's good for them to not only join, be on our podcast, but also another podcast. I think it's very, very important. Let the consumer get to know this person, because I feel that there's been a lot of like crazy conspiracy theories out there, you know, and I feel like that's hurting the industry. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's, I don't know. I find the whole situation is stupid when I see that. You know, because I think we all contribute in this community. You know, it could be in the business side, it could be in the community side. You know, and we need that communication. You know,
it's so critical to have as close as the connection you can have between the message and the person saying the message. And the shorter amount of time you can have between someone, you know, putting the question out there and being like, "Hey, you know, what does this mean? Is this marketing speech? You know, when am I going to get this kind of feature?" I think it's critical when you have companies that go out of their way to establish that relationship to be, you know, speaking man to man, essentially, you know, not having to have like this boardroom meeting where you're putting together all of these bullet points to be a little bit as most, you know, it'll sound great on paper. And then you're like, you put that out there and then you don't have any expectation of responding to that. And I think you always have to have that mindset of being like, yeah, look, we have our passionate fans out there. They're going to be the first ones that are going to be, you know, responding to these comments and giving us feedback. We need to take that feedback immediately and then work towards our message, you know, for our larger audience. Because, you know, the mainstream consumer isn't going to get this message until probably it's already set in stone. So I think it's important if you go ahead and talk to more hardcore out there initially and give them enough time to give you proper feedback and criticism. That'll take you so much farther than having to respond to everybody again, you know, when either the game comes out, the patch comes out. That transparency is really important, in my opinion, because it builds the trust, the relationship, and it you know, it tells the users that, hey, you know, don't think you're wasting your time sending that email or calling that hotline. You know, it does matter to get your word across, to get your point across, and hopefully that speeds up the process for everybody else that may have that problem in the future. And I just think that's really important for companies to get out ahead of these kinds of problems like that. So props to Aaron for being on our show, you know, for answering some of those tough questions you guys had.
Definitely. And at the same time, I want the listeners to learn about the business. You know, we have a lot of younger listeners that maybe they want to, you know, when they grow up, they probably want to be part of the industry, you know, work, you know, these different gaming companies and stuff. And I think that's great. You know, I think that it's good to learn. You know, I'm not down with this whole fanboy stuff. Like, it's so tiring. It's stupid. You know, it's a waste of time. You know, it's cool to debate, but when people take this like to the next level and like take this like way too personal, I think it's just wrong, you know. And those that are not into gaming sees that we look like a joke, you know. I think that's not a great thing to promote out there, you know.
So
just want to say that very quick, because we've been getting a lot of messages about the interview and stuff. So I just want to say that very quick, you know. So, but we do have a lot of news. But first, like Pasta said, he's talking about the whole VR stuff for 2016 and everything. Oculus Rift, you know, they announced, okay, we have a pre-order day. This day, you go to our website and pre-order our device. And also, you're going to find out the actual price for this. I'm like, all right. I waited for a couple of days. Then I went to the website, and I noticed that the site was down. It wasn't working. Once the countdown just went to zero, it wasn't working. I had to wait a couple of minutes. Then finally, I went to the website, and it said $599. But I can understand why they're doing this. Maybe eventually in the future, they will lower the price. Right now, this is for the hardcore fans that really, really want this, right? Now, here's the good thing about this. Now, this is a great opportunity for PlayStation. Then they're also going to be releasing their device, a VR device in the future. Why not make it cheaper? You know, and I'm not saying make it extremely cheap, but something that, let's say they'll put it as $399, let's just say. That's cheaper than Oculus Rift. And I think there's way more gamers out there that have the PlayStation 4 that are interested to get this. You know, I think that will help PlayStation also, you know. But right now, to me, seeing this device, there's not a software that got me really, really excited for me to purchase this or any other VRs out there. I'm still waiting until I find like that software that gets my attention.
And I'm curious, you know, will we see that in 2016 or will we have to wait for 2017, 2018? I'm curious just, you know, how in depth some of these developers have gotten with these VR experiences. Because again, I can only speak to the times at E3 that I've tried essentially extended demos. So it was a section of the game, you know, just long enough where you don't start getting sick from it, and designed to be as, you know, amazing as possible for press, you know, reception, which is good. It impressed me. I'm just curious, like, what is the long term effect of these games? Are they going to be fun right off the bat to play in for hours on end? Or are you going to have that tough period of having to adapt to, you know, I didn't even know I got motion sickness from games like this, but this is really pushing me to my limits? Or, you know, what is the most interesting design we can take for this? Is it just taking an existing concept like a first person shooter and then allowing you to remove the, you know, the second analog stick and turn that into you turning your head? Or are we trying to make something more involved, built around entirely gameplay oriented around the VR concept? There's just so many angles right now.
Yeah,
and I think you're right. It's bigger. It's almost a bigger deal now for the Sony gamers, because, you know, even if, you know, the Morpheus is $400, even $500, as long as it's cheaper than the Oculus, the bigger point is you already have the PS4. You already have the hardware for the VR technology. With the Oculus Rift, they're pretty much saying, you know, you're going to need about $1,000 average PC to run the Oculus software. It's going to take the higher end. You know, this is not going to be for your laptop users out there.
Mm-hmm.
So this is going to be an enthusiast device for an enthusiast gamer. So people that have pretty much already had the expectation of what they wanted this to be, you mm-hmm. know, they're the hardcore PC gamers out there. They had the time to build these PCs up around this concept. They're okay with this. They might have the sticker shock value, kind of like I do, like $600. That's a little extreme for an attachment to an existing device. But, you know, the PlayStation gamer, they have the PS4. They're like, well, you know, I already have this system. I'm clearly not a PC gamer. I prefer the consoles. You know, my money, I want it to go as far as possible. So in Morpheus, that's $300 to $400. That's kind of like, you know what? That's reasonable to me. You know, I expect that they're going to have first-person iteration with main Sony series, with the VR headset. You know, your Final Fantasies, your Uncharted's, your Killzones out there are going to have some kind of special orientation around that. And the Oculus is more of like a free game at this point. The market is out there. Anybody can develop for it. There's great, cool ideas out there. But like you said, there's nothing that makes me go, holy crap, I've got to go drop $600 to play this one unique, you know, indie game on PC or this unique first-person shooter. There's plenty of games I would play, but it's that initial shock of being like, all right, I have to put this money down to commit. And now there's all these cool games. So even for me, you know, I just talked about how excited I am for VR. It's more like I'm along for the ride to see, you know, who's going to do the craziest thing first and who eventually is going to have that mainstream success. Because I have the PS4, I'm leaning more to the Morpheus now, but now that I have this awesome PC coming right around the corner, Oculus still matters to me because I can see a lot of cool games out there being developed that I want. It's just, do why $600 want them? And right now, I don't think that's the case.
And let me ask you, the games that you got to see, which one was the one that, out of all of them, got your attention, like, wow, this is a pretty good game.
Yeah, I'd probably have to go back to the Assembly from E3 of last year, which was a first-person adventure game in the style of the Half-Life series where, like, you're a deaf mute. So, like, the story is entirely built around your senses of being like, oh, they're talking to me. I need to turn and make eye contact to have this conversation. You know, there was an important, you know, clue to a puzzle that I'm going to have to solve in the next room. So the puzzle's all about spatial awareness. It's like, oh, I need to, you know, stand up in my chair to, you know, virtually tiptoe, or I need to crouch down under my table to virtually look under another table. So just things like that made me really like that idea. But again, that was a short 30, 45 minute session. I'm curious, would I be that addicted to an idea like that longer term, or would I start to feel the headaches that I felt early on just because my first impression was just I didn't know what to expect. So now that I have an idea of like what the mental state you kind of have to go into to play that kind of game, which is, you know, like you can't really like half-ass the experience. It's kind of like you have to be serious about it. Otherwise, it's either not immersive or then it's almost too immersive. Like, so you keep a bottle of water nearby within arm's reach just in case it gets too much for you. Mm-hmm. But like the experiences are there, and the other things, you know, like I've talked about, you know, something as simple as like, you know, No Man's Sky with VR support. That's cool to make me go, oh, wow, you know, that's a game I'm kind of casually interested in, but the fact that I'll be able to look around my spaceship, that adds more to the experience. You know, like, you know, if I want to start getting back into, you know, the first person, you know, flight sim games that were big back in the 90s on PC, you know, now with VR, that automatically becomes a lot cooler. You know, if they wanted
well,
to bring,
I'll tell you this.
Go ahead.
I tell you the ones that I would like to see, like maybe something like PT, like that type of, those type of games. I think scary games will be, those horror games will be amazing to play the, you know, VR and stuff. So
yeah, developers out there, please make some cool stuff.
But yeah, for those that are listening, please let us know, you know, feedback and what you guys think about Oculus Rift. Are you getting this or not? Are you getting the PlayStation VR? Just let us know.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
This is Gamer Tag Radio. Voicemail 786-2737-GTR.
The other day, I was browsing online and stuff during the Christmas break and stuff, and I read that Street Fighter V is also going to be coming out for the PC and also Steam OS. So it will work with my Steam controller, you know, or probably I could connect either my Xbox controller will work there too. Now, here's the debate. I'm curious about getting this. And I've been thinking, man, should I get this for the Steam machine? Because all the games I've been buying for the Steam machine are forget about the indie games, because those are, some of them are really brand new and it's available there. I could buy and stuff. But the majority of like those games are available for consoles. A lot of them that I have are really, really old, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thinking, should I get this for the Steam machine or should I just buy this for the PlayStation 4?
I would say, you know, I had the same dilemma too, because this is a game for the longest time. I assumed that I'd play it on PS4, A, and more importantly, B, I'd have to suck it up and buy another $150 arcade stick, because my Xbox 360 one doesn't work on PS4. So, you know, that sucks. Now that I finally decided to join, you know, the PC side of the world,
yeah,
all of a sudden I don't have these limitations anymore. My 360 arcade stick that I bought years ago for Street Fighter 4 back in 2009 will still work for Street Fighter 5 on PC. So I've automatically just saved myself essentially $150 from having to, you know, what I would have had to have bought a PS4 arcade stick. Because for me, it's like, you know, I can't play fighting games more without the arcade stick. Like, I've tried playing Killer Instinct because it's free now on Xbox One with the controller. I just don't like it at all. I'm not having fun. I feel frustrated and limited. So automatically, it's like, well, you know what? You know, PC, there's no disadvantage. I can still play with all my friends who are going to buy it on PS4. We're not going to be locked out of each other's games. I'm going to have more options. It's going to visually look better. It's going to run better. It's going to get updates faster. There's going to be a large community to play with because of that PlayStation audience. And again, I have my existing arcade stick. It's well-loved, well-worn. It still shows no signs of slowing down. It's, you know, it's a well-made Mad Catz arcade stick. You know, they make great products out there. So I was not looking forward to having to buy a brand new one, essentially for one game, because, you know, I don't know what the straight of new Tekken's going to be. I don't know about new Soul Calibur or any other fighting game series. Street Fighter, to me, is my most important one. It's the one that matters. It's the one that moves the industry. I'm going to follow it regardless of where it goes. So, you know, if it was only on Xbox One and not on PC, I would suck it up and play it on there. But having it on Steam now, knowing that I can play with my PS4 buddies, and I'm playing with you, whether you get it on PS4 or Steam right there, that's a selling point. And for the same price, day one download, I can play it 12:01 a.m. I have to go stand in line for it like in the old days. This is just hitting all the check marks for me. So I'm really excited. This is even my first fighting game purchase on Steam, on PC. And I could be more excited for it. So I'm all on board for PC for Street Fighter V.
Well, so now that you're getting your PC, I'll play it on the Steam machine. We could play online and stuff, and I think that would be great.
That would
be a lot of fun. That's it. All right, so another thing too, Plants vs. Zombies, Garden Warfare 2, the beta is coming out January 14th through the 18th.
Yep.
I'm very excited because I really enjoyed the first game. That was so much fun, and I played it a lot with my nephews and nieces, and also, you know, with P. And I think I played with Mandy and a couple other people. Have I played with you online?
No, here's the thing. My counterpoint is I actually have never played the Garden Warfare series before.
Oh, my God. I'm missing out.
I've heard all the praise for it, but it just came out at, a busy time of year for me for the last one.
Another thing, too. Wow. We just started the year, and then now we're getting delays from from all these of a couple companies.
Of course, well, all of these games couldn't come out this year. We knew that was impossible.
Now, two games that got my attention from Xbox during E3. One of them is Scalebound.
Yes.
Patrick, that game looked really
good.
Platinum
Games does no wrong, I'm telling you.
Yeah. Now, this game got delayed until 2017. Now, to me, yes, at the moment, I'm mad because it's not coming out this year. But at the same time, I would like for them to make the game better, release it at a time that until they see that the game is already perfect for the masses, take your time with it. I don't want a game full of bugs. You know, I'm mad at the moment, of course, because I'm a fan of Platinum Games. Take your time. Why not? 2017 will be a great time. Right now, this year, there's way too many games coming out. I think that's the right time for them to release that game.
Yeah, especially for a system seller. I mean, you want this game to come out and make people go, oh, wow, you can do what on Xbox One? You know, that's for me is kind of what the same feeling I got when they sold Crackdown 3. And it's cloud-based technology for destruction. I mean, some of these ideas are really strong. So, yeah, it hurts a little to see this slip out of 2016. But, you know, there's plenty of other things coming out. Essentially, in the third-party range, for me, is covers all my bases. But still, yeah. PlayStation 4 exclusives, Xbox One exclusives, I'm not lacking at all for games. And you got to remember, too, I mean, Platinum Games isn't the biggest studio in the world. They're also making the new Nier game, Automata, for Square Enix. And they're still making Star Fox Zero for Nintendo. So they're busy as hell right now. And they've said this is the most ambitious game yet. So please, all the time you need, make it great, make it awesome. Because you don't want a game to come out, you know, kind of like what happened to Tomb Raider last year, is he comes out at the wrong time. As fun as it may be, there's no excitement around it. So especially for this with a new IP, you know, obviously Hideki Kamiya is a household name for hardcore gamers, but you want to make Scalebound a household name. And you wanted to sell it to people who normally wouldn't play this type of game from Japan. I think it's critical is give it all the time it needs, make it the big flagship game for 2017, let other games this year like, you know, Quantum Break or ReCore, you know, kind of be your go-to, you know, wow games. Let's get these out for 2016. But again, third-party support is king right now. Obviously, yes. I'll help flip this on to the next topic a little bit, but, you know, we have confirmation now from Square Enix that Final Fantasy 15 is coming out this year in 2016, which is huge. I mean, I didn't even think we would get that. Maybe Japan would get it and we would get it in 2017. Like, I'm so used to waiting now, but they say they're getting it out this year. So, you know, having those big third-party games like Final Fantasy 16 out for Xbox One and PS4, and hopefully Steam, fingers crossed, at the same day in 2016 worldwide release, that shakes up the industry. So, yeah, it's kind of sad that we're not getting the big momentum-shaking first party exclusives anymore, but games of this caliber, that Final Fantasy name brand still matters enough for, you know, regardless of what console you bought in 2016, you're going to buy one to play this game. Or you've already made your decision and you're waiting for this and you're waiting for Kingdom Hearts 3 and other things of that vein. So there's still those huge games that make you go, oh crap, I got to have a console, or oh crap, I got to build a new PC. So I think this year is going to be full of that. So you're not going to make a bad choice. If you still haven't made your next gen choice yet, you could probably sit on the decision probably up until E3, and I'd probably recommend it too for them, you know, to have finally, you know, Nintendo, Sony, Microsoft up there, top of the stage, you know, yelling out to the world saying, this is the new thing that's coming. This is what you have to have. And, you know, for every three companies, that could go any way they want. So I'm excited.
Yeah, and also ReCore got delayed to
second half
of the 2016.
It's supposed to come out in spring, but like, yeah, give it more time. Make it a big, you know, AAA exclusive for the holidays. It looks like it has the potential.
It does have potential, but here's another thing too that I read that originally, yeah, of course it was gonna come out for during the springtime. There's too many games coming out for spring.
There always is for years. For
Quantum
10 years
Break,
now, I think.
Uncharted 4, like there's a lot of games.
Dark Souls 3
also around that same month, you know. So yeah, let it come out maybe August, September. I think that will be a great time to release it. Start the holiday season like with that game, you know. So, Pawson, we have two things coming up. One of them is I still have a lot of interviews that you recorded during PlayStation Experience.
So
and one of them I'm going to post for this week is Horizon Chase. What can you tell us about Horizon Chase? I'm going to play the interview in a few minutes.
So Horizon Chase, if you ever had any experience like I did growing up playing the games like Outrun or Pole Position, where it's that old school sense of going really, really, really fast into 2D space, this is what Horizon essentially aims to put onto the PS4. So it was an iPhone game originally. I'm not an iPhone gamer at all, so I didn't have any experience with this until I played a PlayStation experience. But I gotta say, growing up, getting quarters for my mom to go to the laundry room, the laundromat in the arcade room that had like the old OutRun Pole Position machines, this brought me back to that sense of, feel like there was a real sense of speed with that cool 8-bit, the guitar based soundtrack to it with the impressive, the popping visuals. It's a very just cool, fun, quick little game. Anybody can pick up and play. There's very little skill gap on it. But it's okay. Just a sense of just driving fast in these cool cars with the cool music playing. It's just a lot of fun, in my opinion. And, the more games like that we get on the mainstream consoles like PS4, I think that's great because it's more variety. Obviously, if you don't like Gran Turismo kind of stuff at all and you just kind of want something, that's the lower price range to have some fun with your friends, mm-hmm. I'd say Horizon's a good way to go. I had a lot of fun playing it, more than I thought. So I had a really fun job interviewing the crew over there that made the game. So, I think you'll enjoy the interview as much as I had recording it because it was a great time.
All right, so now we're going to play the interview with Pasta. This is recorded last month during PlayStation Experience. I'm going to play that now. And after that, Pete sent me this review of the new exotic PC. It looks very, very sexy, right?
It looks like a space station on your desk, man. I love the thing.
Yeah, it looks pretty dope, man. So we're going to also be playing that. So once we come back, we have more stuff to talk about. So we'll be right back after this.
Voicemail 786-2737-GTR.
Hey, what's up, Gamertag? Patrick here again, and I got a chance to check out, for my day's over, Horizon Chase, which is a new addition to the PlayStation family in terms of being an old-school racing game, kind of like the games that a lot of us maybe grew up with back in the day. I'm joined by pretty much most of the team right now with me. You guys mind introducing yourselves real quick?
Yeah, sure. I'm Sandro Manfredini. I'm the business director.
Yeah, I'm Milton Diesel. I was technical art director on the project.
I'm Barry Leach, and I was the composer.
Excellent. Glad y'all be right here right now. So Horizon Chase, obviously y'all said this has been an iOS game for a while now, but y'all decided you wanted to push it to the next level, get it on the PS4, get it out there to everybody. So for people maybe that, have no connection at all to the old school games like Pole Position and OutRun, what makes Horizon Chase unique in your eyes?
You want to?
Well, we decided to reuse some of the fun mechanics that all these old games had, and we tried to put it in a whole new, different experience in terms of graphics, make it look sharp, make it look HD. We also added a couple of features that make it more modern, like you have a huge progression of the game. You have to unlock new tracks, unlock new cars. So I think it's a pretty good mix between the old school style and some of the things we like in the new games style.
I agree. I mean, it's visually striking, but the gameplay, more importantly, it's tight. It's crisp. When I take a corner and accelerate, I feel like I'm in control of the car. It's very fun to drive these fast machines. But that said, I mean, it's not just a visual thing. There's also the audio component as well. With Barry, which is you come in, as you actually did the soundtrack for this wonderful game. And I got to say, I'm a big fan of it. What was your inspiration for doing this style of music?
Well, part of the inspiration for the game was a lot of the old games that I'd worked on. I'd written the music for 25 years ago. So this is exactly how remember how old video games, the sound wasn't so great? This is how it sounded in my head 25 years ago. Now the technology's there.
Well, it sounds fantastic. I heard you actually had some instrumentalists at work on the project as well. Like you had outside musicians come in to work on some of the music. Because I hear like some pretty cool guitar and drum parts as well.
Oh, I just did that all myself.
What? Oh, man, the man of many talents. Well, it's very impressive. It sounds fantastic. It looks very good. I guess let's talk some more features. Obviously, we're going to have unlockable cars. You have on the stage, you have these collectible coins you pick up. That's as form as a currency to unlock progression meter. You have a fuel mechanic as well, which is interesting, which I've noticed is having to be strategic of, when you pick up fuel, when you don't pick up fuel, you have the nitrous system. You want to go more into what the progression system is like? What kind of cars we can expect to unlock in Rise and Chase?
Well, the unlockable content, it's always relying on how much performance you can be in a race, because since it's not tied to any kind of new purchase you do when you already have the game, you have to be good. You have to get first places. You have to collect all the coins, and then you unlock and you unlock new cars. And for the multiplayer mode, we are thinking about the co-op mode that you have to do this for both players so you could progress. So it's another layer of complexity that we want to add to the campaign mode. And I think the progression will change a lot when you have to consider always two or four players doing the same campaign.
I like that a lot. Yeah, I mean, I love multiplayer makes any game better. I was also impressed. There's a lot of tracks in this game, more than I would have thought. And it seems like you go all over the world. Like, what are some of the places we'll get to visit in Horizon Chase?
Well, there are 10 different regions. It starts in California, but there's Chile, Brazil, South Africa, India, Australia, Hawaii. There's a bunch of content. Because the art style, it's for us, it's a decision that we made to not create something really complex that will limit us in terms of how many tracks we can have. So we decided to create something very simple that we could provide a lot of content to players instead of limit the content in just a few tracks.
Impressive. Barry, I had to come back to you real fast. Do you have a personal favorite piece of music you put on this game, or is it kind of all your baby at this point?
Let me tell you the wee story. When the game was first released, I'm playing the game and I'm listening for all the tunes. And there was three tunes missing. I'm like, where are these tunes? So I'm emailing the developers. I'm like, guys, you're missing my music. Where is it? And then you finally get to the Greece level and the Acropolis level, and it plays like the heaviest tune in the game, and there's thunder and lightning effects happening. It works beautifully. That attention to detail really makes the game.
Because like I said, like, some of the weather effects in this game are really cool with that visual aesthetic, as you said. Having, you know, you can have the different backgrounds. You have the weather effects, the day-night cycle. Again, the amount of content in this game is kind of insane to me to have so many levels, all these collectible cars. What kind of, like, multiplayer are we expecting? Are we going to have, like, you know, players on the same screen?
Yeah, we are planning to do everything on a multiplayer based on a couch multiplayer. We want to make the best experience you can have in a couch multiplayer for the PS4. I think if the whole purpose of the game is to create something great based on old school games, so we should make the best experience for the couch multiplayer. So it's always be split screen between two or four players and all of them on the same couch.
Excellent. And online multiplayer supported as well, I take it?
I'm sorry?
Online multiplayer will be supported as well?
Probably not. Probably there will be...
Keep it a couch, locally fun game. I can understand that. Every game's more fun when you play with your buddies on the couch.
Yeah, sure.
And to me, this is one of those games I can pull out and be like, hey, I know you don't play Gran Turismo or anything like insane like that, but you should try this, because, you know, I've had a blast playing it.
Yeah, the trash talk between your buddies than the online mode.
It's much more authentic because you have to say it to their face. You're not hiding behind the screen when you say these kinds of things.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, it's called Horizon Chase. The studio's called Aquarius. How do you pronounce your studio?
Aquarius.
Horizon Chase from Aquarius. Horizon Chase. You got to check it out. Obviously, coming to PS4, do you have any idea of what release date you want to put it out on?
For the PS4, probably first half of 2016. Okay. We are also thinking about Vita, but that will come after the PS4 version. Probably second half of 2016.
So PS4 and Vita, 2016, hopefully coming soon. I can't wait to get my hands on it. It looks like it is a lot of fun. I've played it. What am I talking about? But to my listeners, I wanted them to know that this is something that you should be on their radar. There's a lot of wonderful games here, PlayStation experience. But actually, it's the first racing game I played here. So you guys kind of cornering this market a little bit. So congratulations. But yeah, thank you guys so much, Barry, Hamilton, Sandra. I appreciate it so much. I wish you best of luck with the rest of the game, and have a good rest of the show.
Thank you very much.
Voicemail 786-2737-GTR.
All right, so I was lucky enough to receive a gaming laptop for review, and for transparency's sake, I did not get to keep it. As you guys are listening to this, it's currently headed back to the good guys over at Exotic PC. I'll make sure that the URL is included in the show notes in case you can't catch it, but it's xoticpc.com. So do me a favor, please check them out if you're in the market for dope custom gaming computers and laptops. So today's review is on the GT72S Dominator Pro G219. That's a mouthful. So basically, it's an MSI GT72S Dominator Pro laptop. It features a 6th-gen Intel Mobile i7 6820HK Skylake processor, an NVIDIA GeForce GTX 980M featuring 8 gigs of DDR5, that's GDDR5, and 64 gigs of DDR2133 megahertz RAM. that is essentially a Ferrari of laptops. It's probably the most highest performing laptop I have ever put my hands on. And it does exactly what you would expect something like this to do. It performs at a very, very high rate. We're talking easily grabbing 10K on 3DMark GPU performance. And every game that I played while using this laptop scored 85 plus frames per second. That's pretty intense. For storage, we're looking at dual Samsung 980 Pro 256 gig SSD hard drives in a RAID 0 configuration. I'll get more into that later on in the review. Also featured a separate 256 gig SSD for game storage or installs, and a fourth hard drive. Yes, this is a laptop with four hard drives. A 1 terabyte hard drive for storage. The laptop also includes Dynaudio's THX TrueSound Audio with Dolby Digital Live support. We've got Bigfoot Killer hardware NICs and wireless LAN support, as well as Bluetooth 4.0. Has a built-in SteelSeries chiclet-style illuminated keyboard. And then, aside from that, it comes with Exotic PC's Redline Boost for overclocking, IC Diamond Thermal Compound on the CPU and GPU, 6 USB 3.0s, 17.3 super clear matte type IPS screen at 1920 by 1080 and 2 mini display ports. So the laptop also has, on top of the native 1920 by 1080 display, has a super port in the back. Now on the super port, you can actually connect a dual 4K output. So if you wanted to push it out to 4K onto, let's say, a much bigger screen, you could. Now that was one of the knocks on the laptop, whereas you would think for a laptop with as much power and performance as this has, you would expect native 4K support on the laptop. But unfortunately, it doesn't do that. So going back to the performances and the pros, again, superior performance. I got 10K plus on 3DMark hardware GPU tests. It's literally a portable desktop. I played several hours of gameplay on Witcher 3, and I'd probably say about 20 to 25 hours on Fallout 4, and had zero issues with performance or video lag or stutter. Again, the monitor only does support 1080p native, but if you use the super port, you can output to dual 4K if necessary. So going back to the Super RAID that I mentioned earlier, it's an MSI exclusive that enables like a performance boost within the built-in RAID 0 hard drive config. So, and that's only available on Skylake-equipped MSI laptops. So what it does a performance boost on your RAID 0. It's out of control. We're talking, if you're expecting most laptops to do about 400, 500 on IOPS and write-through, this boosts it over to 800, and it's insane. The cons. For something as amazing and as powerful as this laptop, there are a few. Weight, obviously, would be to expect on something like this. We're talking close to 9 pounds out the door, not including the power brick. If you throw in the power brick, you're actually around 11 pounds. But this is a laptop. I mean, if you want it, if you're looking for a custom gaming laptop, you can't be expecting a MacBook Air or something like that. It's going to come with some weight. The Dynaudio True Sound was somewhat lackluster in my opinion. It just didn't have the punch I was expecting from a product like Dynaudio. I did have several different headphones set up and connected to it, and that sounded amazing. And I think that's probably because of the ESS Saber DAC or digital audio converter built into the laptop. So I would say headphones are definitely recommended for this laptop. Battery life, 2.5 to 3 hours max. But again, this is a laptop with high performance specs, so it's kind of expected for a device like this. So the big question now, price. Base model coming out is, it obviously doesn't have the dual 256 gig hard drives and it's and all the other the 64 gigs of RAM, but at $2,200, it is the Ferrari of video game laptops. The model that I tested came with, multiple hard drives, overclocking from Exotic PC called the Redline Boost, IC Diamond Thermal Compound on the GPU and the CPU, and it came in at just over $3,200. So people see that price or hear that price and you're like, whoa, that's way too much for a laptop. But think about it like this. If you're looking for a niche custom gaming device, regardless of whether it's a laptop or a desktop, and that's your price range, this is the device you want to get. Now, again, yes, $3,200 is hard to swallow for any type of computing device, regardless of whether it's a laptop or device or a computer. But if you're in the market for a Mercedes-Benz type device with the AMG kit, or if you're looking for, you know, the Brabus edition, this is the one you want. You want the Rentec, you know, Mercedes of video games, this is the device to get. Unfortunately, if it was up to me and I had the $3,200 to spare, I would keep the laptop, but unfortunately I can't. So it's going back to the good guys over at Exotic PC. Again, this is a review for the MSI GT72S Dominator G219. If you're in the market for an amazing laptop at a very high price point, this is the one to get.
This is Gamertag Radio. Voicemail 786-2737-GTR.
All right, so that was the interview and review from Pete. Thanks, Pawson, for the interview. That was a lot of fun, man.
Oh, no, thank you.
A lot of fun, man.
It was fun.
Yeah, and we have a lot more left, so we're going to be playing that. We're going to be playing those interviews in the future episode of GTR.
Awesome.
But we're going to wrap it up, man. I'm excited. I can't wait for Pete and Paris to come back so we could talk, because I'm very curious on the stuff that they're doing right now.
Me too. Really curious. I mean, it's
very curious.
About on the fence as I've ever been on a game at this point. I mean, me and Danny have a history going back a couple E3s on this. So I'm just fascinated to see, you know, what they thought of the cool thing they got to check out. And that's about all we can say on that matter.
Yeah, definitely, man. So just be on the lookout. It's going to be a pretty good episode once it comes out. So a lot of content coming up for this month. Oh, yeah. Anyway. So. All right, so head over to GamertagRadio.com or play.it. Listen to our past episodes and share it with your friends and family. Just let everybody know about GTR. Give us a call, 786-273-7GTR. That's 786-273-7GTR. Or email us, fanmail@GamertagRadio.com. If you would like to be part of a fan mail episode, email us, call us, send us content. The more you do that, the more we're going to be doing fan mail, all right? We have people that have been calling us almost every week, and I love that. Keep it up. Pasta, anything else you want to say before we wrap it up?
No, other than I wish I had something new to play besides Rainbow Six, which I love, but my God, I'm addicted to it. I will say this. I just read this headline as we're about to log off here, but
yeah,
we're going to have apparently a renaissance of JRPGs this year. I want to say next year. This year, 2016. There's like 20 JRPGs coming out this year, which I don't think has happened in like years, man.
Years.
But like, I mean, we're talking like Bravely Default is getting a sequel. Dark Souls 3, Dragon's Dogma is ending up on PC. We're getting like 2 Dragon Quest games. 3 Final Fantasy games, a remake of Valkyria to Chronicles, new Fire Emblem, new Nier game, new Odin Sphere is coming back, Persona 5, new Shin Megami Tensei 4, Star Ocean, Kingdom Hearts, like 2.8. Like, my God, like,
holy
I think
crap.
If you lay JRPGs, regardless of their 3D or 2D or turn based or, you know, strategy based, you have a game for this year.
I think somebody, a listener, emailed us about that
a while ago, right? My headline, and I was like, holy crap, I got to read through these. And I'm excited about practically every single one of these games. It's great, man. I'm finally have an excuse to stop playing so many first-person shooters and, you know, Western RPGs. But, you know, Fallout and Witcher were just so fun last year that it'd be nice to have a Japanese break, if you will, for the other side of the spectrum. So I just gets me excited to see such a breadth of interesting game content in that genre that, you know, hasn't seen much growth in the last decade or so. But that's just cool to see all that coming. So yeah, man, bring in the JRPGs. I'm excited.
Yeah, I'm excited for that, man. I definitely will be playing some of those games. Not all of it.
No, not all of them.
That's a lot. That's 20 is a lot.
20 is a lot of games.
That's a lot of
especially
games.
Especially each of those games is between 20 to 100 hours at least, minimum.
Holy crap. Oh, my God. I hope you're ready, Pawson. That's a lot.
Oh, I'm so ready. Oh, my God.
Yeah, okay.
Bring it on, man.
Until next time, we're out. Peace.
You're listening to Gamer Tag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Thanks for listening. Tune in next week.